Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him. Yeah, no.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
I am waiting. I am waiting.
Tip just trying to defend here and hold that ball at bay at the moment. Cork coming on the attack. Long one kicked in and over the bar for Cork. That makes it 14 for Cork, 17 for Tip. 72-51. How long will we play?
Waiting for someone to come out of somewhere.
Cavan are the better side here.
They are, Damien, but they need to get a score or two more, so they do. They're just a point ahead at the moment, and they've had three wides in a row.
Waiting for someone to come out of somewhere. Waiting for someone to come.
Cavan go along with a high dropping ball. Riley tries to get there. Patton calls out, but only as far as Madden, who buries it into the back of the net. It's a goal for Cavan. Cavan on the brink of ending a 23-year win for the Anglo-Celt Cup. Can Cavan hold on now? I can barely hold on to me. That microphone here.
From a man to find out.
Promised land, Stephen King, you can rest easy now. Raymond Gallagher is about to pick up the Anglo-Celt Cup.
Waiting for someone to come out of somewhere.
Rory Dean coming all the way in. Rory Dean still breaking through the middle here. It's Rory Dean lays off this ball. It's loose now and it's got out the knee. We've done it, Stephen. And now the Munster champions, 100 years on for Bloody Sunday. History has been made here. It is Tipperary who are the Munster football champions. The year of Michael Hogan, the year of history. This is Tipperary's hour. It's Tipperary's day. We have done it.
Yeah, something mad going on yesterday, to say the least. BBC Northern Ireland there, Northern Sound and Tip FM. Let's hear from Mickey Graham, then Cavan manager. He was speaking to Aisling O'Reilly post-match.
Mickey, how do you put into words that Cavan are the Ulster champions?
As I said to a couple of other reporters, I'm waiting for somebody to pinch me and tell me the game's on tomorrow. And that's the reality of it. What a performance. The lads, you know, dug everything, every ounce of energy out of themselves today. And we as a management team are just so delighted for them, boys. Because let's be honest with it, you yourself and every other person in the country had us wrote off. And nobody gave us a chance coming in here by ourselves. And to do something like that against the odds is a special, special occasion.
You'll enjoy this now and you'll look ahead to the All-Ireland semi-final. That sounds nice, doesn't it?
It sounds very special. Wow, what can I say? Cavan, such a tradition. I know the people at home. I know what it means to them. You know, the blood goes through all our veins, and we've been waiting a long time for this. We've been waiting so long, you know, and being rode off the way we were to come and do it in the style we've done it. And I thought they deserved every bit of it today.
There is loads more post-match reaction, by the way, on the Off the Ball sports app. Just search OTB Sports in your app store and you'll find it all there from all the games. We had people at all the games across the country Saturday and Sunday. Let's talk to David Brady and Mike Quirk. You're there, fellas?
Joel.
Yeah.
How's things?
Things are good, DB. So look, sometimes, especially up in Ulster and to a lesser extent in Munster yesterday, sometimes strange things happen in football.
What? What an absolute weekend of it. And that's the truth. It was uplifting. It was uplifting from a human context, never mind a GAA context. And especially, I can only, because anyone I knew from Cavan or Tipperary got a text or a message or a thumbs up yesterday, because for what the people themselves experienced and went through, I suppose, went through in the window of losing over the last 85 or 20 odd years to now, And what they went through for 70 minutes, it was pulsating, but it was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I think the part I enjoyed the most, for whatever reason, when you realised the madness of the day, David, was after the second game, just watching the Cavan lads just screaming over and over again, these kind of guttural roars ringing out around the empty ground, and just the magic of it, and the knowledge that everyone's watching at home as well.
And I think that was the scream. That was the scream to let the people at home know, because they couldn't scream to the people in the stand because they were empty. And it was just an absolute, I think, it would do your heart good. But look, it's the times we're in, I think, as well. And it's been said from all camps. And all camps have said it, that their own people were thought of yesterday. Yes, over the period of losing for decades, but over the period of the last 8 months. And I think that was very symbolic of what was done yesterday and what was articulated by a lot of the players. And, you know, Jesus, it was great to see.
It was great to see players. It was kind of magic, yeah.
It was magic. And they talked about their people. And neither of these, neither of the victories was a flash in the pan or a fluke or anything else. It was richly and wholly deserved. And it was, they were a credit, but it was special, and a special weekend from a GAA perspective on Bloody Sunday in 100 years. And look, no one could have written that script that would be, it would mirror what happened in 1920.
Yeah, Mike, were you sitting back and enjoying the emotion of the whole thing, or were you watching with a boring analytical mind?
No, I was. I think everybody was swept up in the emotion of it. And like I had met Mickey Graham for the first time this year. We played him in the National League, and like I spent a few minutes with him before the game, which would be unusual. We were talking at one of the training pitches, and he was just the nicest guy. You know, I was there kind of a rookie manager, you know, trying to find my feet. And this guy was taking plenty of time talking about facilities and different things. And it struck me that he was such a really, you know, a good guy. Like, you know, you could tell straight away the guy was completely genuine and the kind of fella that gets those performances out of players because of the kind of person that he is. And I just, you know, I when I saw his interview after the game and Raymond Gallagher, it was very emotional. It was special. And you could feel like they got relegated to Division 3 this year. They're on, outside of COVID or anything else, he had to pick up a team that suffered that disappointment, which is a proper disappointment, and then to play six games in 6 weeks, I think it is, and to go into that game as such an underdog and then to deliver in the type of way that they did. And you could just see, it was just, I thought it was a beautiful thing for the whole country, to be honest, and gave everybody, whether you were a Cavan person or Mayo or Kerry or wherever, gave everyone a bit of a lift to be able to see that kind of joy and kind of relive there.
Yeah, something weird in the atmosphere. I mean, how weird, Mike, is this 1920 thing?
It is, yeah, it is. And you know what, I watched it on Saturday evening, and again, like, it was striking. It was the way, I think, the GAA, Croke Park, RT, I think everybody's handled it. You know, the way they've done it has been very tasteful and very educational. It educated me. I wasn't as aware as I should have been about a lot of the details, and I was able to sit down with my kids and watch it again and explain to them, you know, what had happened and what went on. And it was, I just think the whole thing has been done so well. Mm. And this weekend in particular has been a real credit, you know, amidst all the COVID stuff, just the way that the GAA has handled this weekend, and then the results and the performances, the way that they've lived up to that weekend has been, it's really strange to get your head around it, but it's been a very, very special weekend.
Yeah, no, in fairness, they've all done remarkably well. David, Mike there mentioned, you know, the extent to which Cavan were underdogs, their league form and even their run in Ulster has been miraculous to get to the final in some ways, you know, a fairly bumpy road. But like, you look at Tipperary, for all their pedigree at underage level with this group and even getting to the senior semi-final in 16, it hasn't been a great couple of years for them. If you take the 2018 championship, the 2019 league, the 2019 championship and the first five rounds of this year's league, in all of that time, they've managed three wins. They weren't coming in here red hot either, you know.
No, they weren't, because they've had a bad run of form of late. And again, that's a lot of that is with players available or not available, or transition of players. And I think if you look at them both, and this is the reality of it, you've had the capability of COVID. COVID has allowed players to stay within their own counties. They've half went off to far off places working for the summer or seeking work to try and make a few pounds for college and everything else. It's kept them there. And you know what it has done as well? 6 games in 6 weeks and a condensed championship like this suits the weaker counties, because you're not carrying the burden of injuries or players carrying niggles from May, June, July, August. And all of a sudden, you know, 2 weeks into August and you have seven guys that's laid up with injury. But again, it's going back. And if you look at both, but very much Tipperary, very much, it's ingrained in what the philosophy has been. And that is to have the likes of David Power. He was under 15 manager in 2007. Mm. He was minor manager in 2009. But he has been with these guys for the journey. And very much like Mickey Hart as well. You look at Desi Farrell as well. All these guys have come up with these people. They've been identified as good managers and good individuals. Mm. And they have come up through the years. And that's why the integration and the fluidity of Dublin with Desi Farrell, because he knows the guys. And very much like Davy Power, he's on a journey of a lifetime with these guys. But yesterday was the icing on the cake from a Tipperary and Cavan perspective. It was all their it wasn't their dreams, it was their ambition and it was their drive. And they knew you will never, ever, ever win a game like that. Ever. And Mike can tell you, you'll never win it unless you believe you can win it. And they did.
Mike, if I give you the tough task of trying to sum up the two games, say for people who didn't see them, to sum up the performances from the four teams in a line or two, there were obviously different games in that Cork only led once, and that was in the 16th minute, 5-4. And really, Tipperary had a bit of a cushion for a large chunk of that game. So the two performances we saw in that game, and then equally, I mean, Cavan came from behind ultimately with that goal in particular to win the game. Donegal, obviously, a lot of people's, you know, fancy to trouble Dublin the most this year. So what did we see in the two games?
Well, like you said, two very different games. I think Tipperary were largely comprehensive winners. You know, they were the better team. It wasn't a smash and grab. I think they've got forwards that would make a lot of teams. You know, Conor Sweeney, you know, Conor Reardon, like Quinlivan, like Liam Casey in the middle of the field comes up with 2 points. I think they have a lot of players that are capable of playing at that level in other teams. They're a really good team, and it shouldn't be kind of, you know, it wasn't a huge upset. When you knew that Shawny Powter wasn't playing, which was a massive loss for Cork, and that Conor Reardon was coming back in, like, that's a massive swing. And like David Power said it after the game, they're used to beating Cork at underage level. If it was Kerry, it was a different thing, because they don't have that same maybe belief like David's talking about of beating Kerry, but they have it at Cork, and they showed in their performance. They were comprehensive. They were, you know, pillar to post, they were a better team. Whereas the Cavan one was different. The Cavan one was your proper underdog who clung in there all the way. And there was a period of that game where they were tackling around the middle of the field that was reminiscent of what Tyrone did to Kerry in 2003, that epic clip where the ball went from two or three different players and there was three Tyrone guys hounding him and tackling him, dispossessing. And Cavan brought that for a large portion of the game, which was incredible to watch. And then they hung on there and they got their bit of luck and the quality they had shone through, and they were more than deserving winners again. And just two incredible, incredible results and two different performances, but yet something that you'll marvel at for a long time.
Yeah, we'll remember it for a long time for sure. I mean, it's the other opposite end of the spectrum. Saturday night, there was a point where Meath forced a turnover early on a Dublin kickout, and they had done that a couple of times in the league match, and I thought, oh, this could be interesting if they make a habit of that across the next 65 minutes or so. And Cluxton puts the ball down, bang, straight to Con O'Callaghan, who'd come deep. It's a goal, and the rest is history. There's a text in saying Dublin's bench on Saturday had 48 senior All-Ireland medals between them. So, look, Connacht is always kind of competitive. Ulster is very competitive. Munster, we can get carried away how often a Tipperary story is going to happen. But look, this Tipperary group have a pedigree, and Cork did beat Kerry, and maybe that could happen again. But, Mike, you're operating, obviously, with Laois. Leinster's a problem, you know. John Conlon, the Westmeath footballer, said the Leinster Championship is dead, effectively, you know, RIP. It's not a functioning championship at the moment because of Dublin's dominance. I'm not really sure, you know, this weekend, on the one hand, glorious for the provincial championship, but on Saturday, kind of another nail in the coffin of that Leinster championship. So where are you on this whole balance at the moment?
I'm not sure, to be honest. You know, it is a problem, obviously. And I think the big key is like, as David mentioned there, is belief. I'm not sure that belief is there as it should be with counties, that they can actually go and compete and beat Dublin. And that's the big thing that's evaporated in the last 10 years. And you can look at all the reasons why, you know, in terms of the funding and all that stuff for other people to look at. And there's no question that there needs to be a rebalancing of that. And whether that means that there's a pooling of sponsorship money and that the rest of the money starts getting allocated different places, that's a different argument. But I think from our point of view, as people involved with the teams, and it's a very difficult task, obviously, but it's about trying to instill a belief that you can go out and perform and try and get a result against Dublin. Like Meath had competed with Dublin in the league and had given them a right game. Mm. And I know it's league or whatever, but it was only 3 or 4 points. And Dublin don't take league games off. They don't just, you know, mail it in. Like they try and perform in all these games. And they were really competitive in that game. And Meath had been hugely competitive in all their Division 1 games, albeit not winning a game. But they were competitive in all of them, really. And I genuinely thought they were going to give them a game because of their physicality and their athleticism. So I was surprised at the margin of victory, to be honest. And I think it's probably a lot to do with that two teams in Leinster outside of Dublin really believe, as John Conlon articulated in his open letter, do they really believe that they have a chance of beating Dublin? And that's probably where you have to start, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, did you watch it, David, on Saturday? Even though the game was over very early on, I found myself still watching the 70 minutes because Dublin are just a joy to watch. They're getting better. They're becoming more efficient. They're so sharp. They do all the basics more consistently and faster than every other team around them in the main. Obviously, it's not good for, you know, from a contest point of view, but they look just so good. They are taking the game to new places in new ways.
And you know what, again, I didn't turn it off either, Joe, because it's a pleasure to watch.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, not from a Meath perspective, but to see the, you know, and then you see the guys coming in and they're trying to make a name for themselves. And you can see the disappointment in Cormac Costello when he got sent off. He goes, I've come in to try and make an effort or make a name or make an impression. And all of a sudden he's got red carded. But it was, look at the Dublin are the All Blacks of GAA, without a doubt. And as Mike said, there's an aura about them. And that aura of invincibility comes not something that's made up or it's a dummy. It's not. It's a reality. But every time they go out, they perform to the best. And like their work rate was absolutely phenomenal. Even when there were 15 points up, the work rate of one particular segment of play was absolutely top class. And look, at you can't take it away from them. We've had three massively competitive provincial championships. But yes, Leinster is out on its own because there's only one. Mm. And look at it, it's like everything else. You look at the changing of the guard. You look at Argentina beating the All Blacks for the first time ever, and you're going, it's about everyone else trying to, as Mike says, believe, but put the pillars in place and the supports for teams to try and compete. And it's not going to happen anytime soon over the next 3 or 4 years either. They're not going to go away overnight. Mm. They have a new manager, the new players coming in, the 121 players. It's a juggernaut, and that's the challenge to the rest of us. And each and other county is to try and compete at that level. But again, you look at the special times that was had over the last 48 hours in Cavan and Tipperary. You can't. You know what? Yes, the All Ireland is the ultimate, but by Jesus, we've seen two All Irelands won by Cavan and Tipperary in their minds and achieving something. And they're not going to. Is Cavan going to lie down and play a second song and put the red carpet out for Dublin? You can bet your life that won't happen.
Well, it feels like the wrong day to write them off, so I'm not going to do that. But Mike, when you look at that semi-final pairing, Mike, Dublin-Cavan, that's going to be on the 5th of December, so the Saturday, 5:30, and then on the Sunday, the 6th, it'll be Mayo Tip at 3:30. I mean, so I can give you what the average person is thinking, which is Dublin against Mayo in the final and Dublin to win this relatively comfortably 5-6 points. Would you argue strongly against that either way?
I think Mayo have enough to do to beat Tipperary, to be honest.
Do you? Yeah.
I do. I know it maybe it got lost yesterday and the whole hoopla about it, but Tipperary are actually really good. Like they've got Stephen O'Brien and Liam Casey in the middle of the field. They've got Colin O'Riordan. They got Brian Fox there as a sweeper. Their half back line is very dynamic and will get up and down the field. Now Mayo have decent matchups for those guys, but like I don't see Mayo blowing Tipperary out of the water by any means, you know, in a semi final. And then look, like I look, if I was Kevin, if I was Mickey Graham, my first thing would be asking my players where you want to play the game, lads, and wherever you want to play the game, then we make a case for it. And if they want to play it somewhere outside of Croke Park, I'd make a big stand about that and make a lot of noise and take them out of there. There's no reason the game needs to be played in Croke Park. Doesn't have to give them that advantage. Play it somewhere else, and I think if you do play it somewhere else, I think it becomes a different game as well, you know. So I don't think there is, you know, look, obviously Dublin are favourites to win the whole thing, and it's going to be favoured to be playing against Mayo, but I really think that other one is going to be it's going to be a little bit more tight than people anticipate.
Okay, fair enough. That's an interesting point. So you'd say as Cavan manager, look, we don't need the capacity, so this shouldn't be a croaker. It's clearly Dublin's home venue, so this semi final should be the neutral venue.
Well, I wouldn't. I'd ask my players. Like I'd see where do they want to play, and if the players are saying, look, we want to play in Croke Park because we don't get a huge amount of opportunities to do that, and we want to play in that pitch, then that's fine. But if they're saying no, we want to play this in somewhere else.
But you couldn't do that. You couldn't do that for the final. You couldn't do that for the final, Mike.
No, but I'm not talking about the final. Yeah, I'm talking about the semi-final.
I know, but it'd be sort of the same logic almost, wouldn't it? Like a semi-final is at Croke Park. That's just the way it's always been. No.
Like it's COVID, Joe. I mean, let's change things. Like why like it's almost the semifinals and finals are there because we need the capacity, because you're talking about 82,000 people and you need the money to pay all the staff and to do all that stuff. Like there is nobody going to be there, Joe. There's going to be like you can't even bring in your extended panel. No, so there's guys training with the team that can't even get to the game. They're watching it at home. So I don't see that the venue should be a big issue. And if Kevin wanted to play the game outside the place, I don't think there should be any issue with that.
Okay. What about Newbridge? I mean, maybe there's a slogan we can think up.
No, I have a draw. Navin or nowhere. I can see a trend already. Cavan people, Navin or nowhere. That's it.
Okay, Navin it is. Mike, Navin, okay with you?
Listen, once it's okay with Cavan, that's fine with me.
Yeah, okay. Fellas, we're out of time. Thanks so much for that brilliant stuff. Mike Quirk and David Brady. We'll take a short break.